One thing we heard loud and clear at our recent TSIA conference in Orlando is that software companies are aggressively exploring usage-based pricing models. Everyone is recognizing that user-based pricing models are running out of gas in an AI-enabled world. But how does usage-based pricing impact services? I'm Thomas Law, the Executive Director of TSIA. Welcome to Tectonic, the podcast where we explore what makes technology business models successful in today's world. Today, I will be joined by Kelly Morgan, the Chief Customer Officer at DocuSign, a company that has deep experience with usage-based pricing. So let's get the insight engine humming here. Kelly, welcome to Tectonic. It's great to see you. I haven't talked to you since Orlando. And so why don't we just start here. How long have you been at DocuSign?
First, Thomas, great to see you again and glad to be on the podcast with you today. So I've been at DocuSign almost 3 years now. And what, you know, it's really been an exciting journey for us as we really have been transforming the company from a e-sign, which is what we're known for, to an intelligent agreement management platform company. So we've been going through quite a bit of change and transformation here.
Fantastic, which is why I was excited to get you on after we were talking in Orlando. And at the advisory board meeting we did in Orlando, as you know, we were talking about the fact that every software company out there is saying, gosh, how do I get some component of usage-based pricing going? Because again, the user-based pricing is under a little bit of stress here. And so how long has DocuSign been in that game of usage-based pricing?
So it might be surprising, but we've been in the game for a long time. So we've been using user-based pricing for many, many years. What we love about it is the opportunity for the flexibility for customers to really only pay for what they use. And when you think about customers, right, you know, they need to know, how do we estimate, you know, what type of capacity do we need? We create opportunities for customers where if you need more capacity, you can just add that at any time. And then, of course, you know, as you think about usage, you know, you have to think about, how do we make sure customers have the ability to understand what they're using? So how do we have reporting dashboards to really track and expose this to customers? But for us, we have many different models. Usage-based is one that we've been doing for quite some time.
And just help the audience understand, what are the usage-based components in your price? You know, what type of transactions or clicks or what drives that usage?
Yeah, primarily for our eSign product, it's been around number of envelopes, so number of signatures that are sent out to be signed. And so it's a fairly simple model in how we've designed it, but it really is powerful in how customers use it.
And just give me a sense, you know, for a typical customer, sort of the mix of that pricing model. Is there some baseline pricing? So, you know, do you get access to the software, et cetera? And then on top of that, there's a usage component. Is that how it typically?
No, it's a pure usage. So we're not platform access. You know, and one of the things we've really built our strategy around here is making sure we're driving value for the customer. So, you know, upfront, what we typically do is spend a fair amount of time understanding the business of our customers, working with them to what are they trying to solve. And then we work on forecasting what that demand might look like based on use cases. And then, you know, typically we'll package that up and allow customers to kind of pre-purchase based on what that looks like. And they'll just maybe draw down on that throughout the contract. If we ever get to a situation where customers are going to exceed that threshold, they have the option to just add on more capacity at need.
So this is definitely one of the things I wanted to talk to you about with usage-based pricing, because when we talked about this in Orlando and one of the other board meetings I was in, you know, this issue of surprises, you know, the one thing that customers get nervous about with usage-based pricing is, I don't know how much I'm going to use. And if I have this big spike and I didn't expect it, I need predictability. So you just put on the table that you're doing modeling with customers. So I assume you're looking at company size, the type of company they are. You're saying, hey, historically, this is what you should expect to spend. Is that how you help them understand?
It is. And I think at the fundamental foundation, what we try to focus on is, how are we driving value and what is the business impact? And I think we'd all, you know, agree that customers aren't going to renew what they're not using.
Right.
And so what we've been very deliberate and intentional about is, how do we create value along that entire journey? And how do we think about setting customers up for success from the very beginning? And it's not just about what we can package and price and sell to them. It's also about, how do we deliberately and intentionally drive value from that? And it starts with things like, super simple, Thomas, we've created like what we call customer success packs. And these are basically everything you need to make a customer successful. And we do that by segment. And so we have a good, better, best, which I think a lot of people have. And then we have capabilities like professional services, whether that's delivered by us or through our partner network, to really, you know, navigate that complex implementations. And then we have something I think is a little unique here that we implemented last year called Customer Success Account Managers. And what we did, we took a customer success manager, a CSM, and we took a renewals manager, an RM, and we combined those into a single role. And what we really wanted to do was, how do we design around the customer? You know, as a lot of software and SaaS companies become more siloed, we wanted to simplify how we engage with customers to really think about driving that adoption and usage. And so when you think about the CSAM, a customer success account manager, it really is about owning that overall experience from adoption, usage, and the renewals. And so it's a lot of, how can we get empowerment and accountability deep in the organization? And the way we kind of framed it, Thomas, is think of these CSAMs as mini CEOs of their books, working in partnership with AEs and other parts of the company, so we can really think about driving that value along that whole journey. And so we've been working on, how do we get more prescriptive to orchestrate and curate that journey? And it has things like success plans, health checks, smart feature adoption, things that we know drive more value for customers. That's what we're focused on. And for us, it's really simple, right? Don't design and show up as an organizational function inside of DocuSign, but show up designed around the customer to drive value, right? And so yes, usage is a part of that, but it's more about the value and the outcome that we're trying to help customers achieve.
So you put a really interesting thing on the table, and that is this combination of the CSM role and the renewal management role. And what I think is interesting about that, you know, just be curious, you know, the thinking that took you there to combine that. So what we've seen in the industry historically is people say, look, you know, CSMs are going to focus on adoption. They're there for the customer. We don't want them to get involved with commercials because that's, you know, somehow taints that relationship. So we're going to have sales either own the renewal or renewal specialist. We want to keep this separation of church and state. We have believed for a long time it doesn't have to be that way. And in fact, at TSI, our own model, our version of customer success, member success, those folks own the relationship as well as the renewal. So that has worked for us. What kind of led you guys to say, let's bring this role together? What were some of the driving factors there? Yeah. You said already one, customer facing, you wanted it to be a little bit easier for your customer working with you.
Yeah, I think it always starts for us with stepping back and really taking the time to listen to our customers and take that feedback and think about, you know, how can we act on that? And so we wanted to put the customer at the center of everything we do at DocuSign and design around the customer, not design around our organizational structure or, you know, certain ways, and do that in a way across the entire journey. And so for us, it was about, how do we put the customer there and then make sure we show up in a way where there's, as I had mentioned, high engagement and accountability. And we want these individuals to have the ability to help that customer in an ongoing fashion, right? Because these are relationships that are developed over time, and we don't want them to be transactional where, hey, I show up, I do my part, I hand the baton off to the next person, they do their part. And in a way that we start to deeply understand what our customers are trying to solve and what their pain points are. And we show up in a way where we're not trying to sell them more, you know, software. We're showing up in a way where we're going to help them solve those problems and get more value. And we think that's ultimately like the primary role. And of course, through that process, we are working with other parts of DocuSign, like the sales and the AEs, who are primarily focused on helping us identify new growth opportunities like use cases. You know, for us, it's all about how we design around the customer to get our solution to drive value and impact, not just like, hey, we want you to use more so we can sell you more.
From your experience, what is, you know, if you're a customer success leader out there and you're sitting on top of a traditional user-based model where you sold a bunch of seats and then you're going to have a renewal event a year or a couple of years down the road, and basically you're waiting for that renewal event, renew, you move on. You know, usage-based, you know, you didn't take that money off the table, right? I mean, they actually have to use it. To me, it raises the bar, right, of how you have to engage. And you're articulating, look, we focus on value. We really have to understand what they're trying to achieve, et cetera. You know, when you move to that usage-based model, somebody's out there listening to this and they're like, we're thinking about going that way. What should they get their head wrapped around in terms of what's going to be different from your perspective?
Yeah. You know, a couple of things that we focused on, I think, are really important. One is really, how do you track and report and expose that usage data, both internally to the customer success account manager, as well as anyone else that's involved in the account, but also to the customer. But for us, like if you take our CSAMs, right, we need new skills, new capabilities that we've been investing in. One of our key pillars over the last couple of years has been to really reimagine the employee experience and what skill capability do we need to show up in a very different way. And at the foundation of that for us is really having this higher acumen around data analysis. So how do we understand trends, opportunities, and even proactively understand where there might be issues to lean in? Part of that we've been investing in, and we've got a really nice program this year around technical acumen. So we really want all of our teams to have a different level of technical acumen. You had mentioned, you know, traditionally RMs are very commercial focused, AMs are typically more strategic. In a usage-based model, we see that technical acumen, really understanding the product deeply, understanding our customers' problems and pain points in their business deeply, is foundational to driving that usage. The other one I would just highlight for us is really around having a really high EQ and building that communication skills, right? So we need to be able to show up in a way where we can clearly articulate and communicate insight coming out of all of this data analysis that we talked about. And then of course, I think foundationally to everything we do is we've got to think strategically. So we've got to be able to build and develop that capability where we're leveraging all of this to show up. And it's not about, as I mentioned, selling more widgets or selling more capacity. It's about how do we drive an impact for our customers in a way that allows us to earn the right to do more with them over time. And that more could be new use cases, new departments that can create more value. And the last thing I would just highlight that we've been focused on is adaptability, right? We need to make sure our teams are highly in tune and connected to our customers. So as our customers' businesses are changing, how do we stay connected to that and make sure we're adapting how we show up to make sure we're delivering that value?
Every Tectonic listener is well aware I am a big believer that AI is a game changer for how professionals in the technology industry will do their jobs. TSI Research is not immune to that reality. I am proud to say that we have been aggressively experimenting on how AI can change the way we create research and deliver those research insights to our members. And now we are ready to release TSIA Intelligence, the first Gen AI model designed exclusively for technology services. Unlike generic Gen AI tools, TSIA Intelligence taps into our real-world, industry-validated data that is not in the public domain. We have designed this model to give you clear, actionable, and board-ready insights. Right now, in technology services, the stakes are really high. Every decision counts. Good decisions can build your career. Bad ones can end it. General LLMs are incredibly powerful, but you need specialized insights built on industry data that you can trust. That is TSI Intelligence. To check it out, visit tsi.com/intelligence.
One of the things I'll highlight that we're currently working on that I think can really help bring a lot of that to life is around what we call revenue intelligence or conversational intelligent platform that we're currently implementing. And this will just be another one of the signals that we get that allow us to deeply understand how our customers are using the product, what's the value they're getting, and for us to then use that to make sure we're showing up in a way that allows us to help the customer get the maximum out of their investment.
So I want to click into the value conversation, but before I do, I don't want to lose this thought. So you're describing the profile of this new combined role, and you said, you know, big EQ really technically understands the product. And so I'm just intellectually curious, in terms of filling that role and recruiting people into it, do you find you have more success taking people that were historically, you know, let's say strategic account salespeople and moving them this way, or people that might have been more on the service side, whether they were professional service consulting, you know, or is it both, or where have you seen success finding this role?
It's a great question. And to be honest with you, we're seeing success with both. And so we were very intentional in how we designed our teams. As an example, we took traditional CSMs and RMs and we put them together on the same team. And then we've done quite a bit around skills assessments to understand where each of our team members are and then what type of investment. You know, one of the things that we've been working on is a 3-year plan to really think about what's the skill and capability we need 3 years from now and how do we develop and build and invest in our people to get them there. And we're seeing success in both. I think it comes down to, do we have the right individuals that are willing and they're curious and they want to learn? And we feel like if we have the right programs to build that capability, we can actually get them there. The one thing I would say that you didn't mention, but is a real focus I highlighted, yes, you need to know kind of the strategic side. Yes, you need to know the commercials, but you also need to have a much higher technical aptitude than we had historically thought about in these roles, right? Because one's been very strategic and we want to show up away and run QBRs and EBRs and really understand, you know, how customers are using it. One is like, how do we get through the renewal process? How do we, you know, minimize churn? How do we make sure customers are getting maximum value? But now we believe foundation to all of that is having this technical acumen or aptitude that allows us to really go deep with our customer, especially as we transition to our new kind of strategy around intelligent agreement management, right? Leveraging AI, leveraging all these new capabilities in a platform play. We think that's going to be foundation. And that's something we believe, Thomas, that we can build, right? We've got the programs, the capabilities to really invest in our people to build that technical capability across all of our teams, but especially in the CSAM role.
So the other thing I'm curious about with this role, and also the fact, again, you have usage-based pricing here is 100% of, you know, how we're going to drive revenue. How does that impact the compensation models for CSMs? Again, if I was out there and I'm going to move to usage-based pricing, how would I be thinking about my comp models?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think when you think about going to usage-based model, you have to think about it holistically. You've got to think about everything that influences how you drive a predictable outcome within the business. And I think we would kid ourselves, Thomas, if we didn't think comp plans actually matter. They matter a lot.
For sure.
Getting that right is super important. And for us, what we started with is stepping back and really thinking about, you know, the AEs and the CSAMs and others. How do we show up in a way where we're all pulling in the same direction with this kind of like shared outcome, shared KPI model? And then we started to think about how do we design our comp plan based on how we've done our roles and responsibilities? And so we really stepped back on that and thought about, like, what do we want a CSAM to do every day? What do we want an AE to do? What do we want an onboarding consultant to do? And got real clarity by segment of what the roles and responsibilities are. Then we worked on the KPIs. We worked on the comp plan. You know, some of that is shared. And then some of that is about how we drive that continuous focus on value creation. So for us, on the CSAM side, it's about making sure our customers getting value. Are they satisfied? Are they renewing? Are they getting, you know, the right usage and adoption of what was sold to make sure they're getting the value, they're getting the outcome? And so it's not just about for our teams driving that internal metrics. It's a lot about designing the comp plan around that customer outcome or value that they get. And then we align that with our sales teams as well.
You know, so one thing that I'm seeing more in it, and again, this is the model that we have implemented at TSIA and we like it, is sort of that pod concept. So you have CSMs and sales that are joined at the hip. They're sort of a pod with a pool of accounts that they're serving. And when you look at those comp models, if the revenue from that pool of accounts is growing, everybody in that pod is winning. And what you want are CSMs that are mostly there to drive adoption, but also helping to identify new use cases. They want to see the incremental growth on the business. And you have the salespeople that are looking for the new use cases, but also have some kind of kicker around, you know, renewal as well. And so it is very much more of a teamed effort. Does that align with how you guys think about it?
Yeah. So at the end of the day, we have a pod type structure in the books and alignment, and everyone has ACV component, right? So ARR component within there. So if the book is growing, everyone is winning. But the way we designed it, we want our CSAMs primarily waking up every day thinking about how am I going to drive value on what the customer currently have, right? Is that, you know, things around gross retention. And we want our AEs waking up every day thinking about where can I drive new value for the customer, whether that's new departments or if it's wall to wall or it's new use cases. But at the end of the day, they're primarily focused on that. And then we've really gotten clarity on roles and responsibilities based on customer condition. There is a growth opportunity. Even if the CSAM identifies that opportunity, the AE will take lead on it. If we see there's a churn risk or customers aren't getting the value based on what they purchased, even if an AE identifies that, the CSAM takes primary lead. And so what we've created is this, where all boats rise if we're successful, but we're getting clarity on who owns kind of the customer condition so we can drive maximum impact. And early results of going down this model, Thomas, have been really successful for us. And customers are seeing us show up in a very different way. You know, when I started, at one point, I was talking to a customer, and it's a real example. I was speaking to this gentleman. He's like, you know, three different people showed up from DocuSign to talk to me this week, and all three of them didn't know the other ones were reaching out. We've taken all of that complexity out so we don't show up that way. We're very aligned and we're very focused in how we show up and execute with the customer. Comp plans help do that. And it has that kind of like all win, all fail component, where we're wanting everyone to drive the overall success of the customer, not just maximize a commission payout.
Yeah. So one thing that is very real out there in the industry right now is this conversation of rationalizing account teams. And there's a lot of pressure to say, look, you know, we have this account executive or sales team, we have the CS thing over here. Do I really need both? Right? That's absolutely on the table in a lot of companies. And so I'm curious, because you just described a model where I do have both, and here's the use cases, et cetera. How would you help a CS leader if they're in that debate? Or maybe the other way to ask this is, why can it not just be one person who does everything that you just described? One person that has the relationship, makes sure the customer's getting value, identifies new use cases, pursues those new use cases. That's just one person. So why can't it just work that way?
The one thing I would caution people is not to take a one-size-fits-all approach as you think about it. For us, what we started with, Thomas, is really stepping back and thinking about how do we have an enterprise-wide segmentation strategy so we can then start to design around the customer, not around how we want to show up as a DocuSign organizational structure. I think that's super important. And I think you have to look at your products, look at the complexity of your products, look at how your customers are using those. And I think that starts to inform how you then design your model to show up. And what we do as an example here in our like SMB and mid-market is different than how we show up in majors and enterprise.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And I think, you know, we've been very intentional about, again, designing around the customer, starting with that segmentation, and not take a one size fits all. In some cases, Thomas, it could be one person doing all of that. Mm-hmm. It could also be in these large enterprise accounts where there's multiple people. But in those scenarios, I think you have to take the time to really get the roles and responsibilities right. In order of prioritization is segmentation, it's roles and responsibilities, it's shared outcomes, aligned KPIs and metrics, and then incentives, policies, and other things to really help enforce kind of how you do that. But at the heart of all of it has to be the customer, not, you know, each team like going off trying to do what they want. But I think it depends, right? There's not a single answer. And I think it is both, and it can be hybrid. And we have the agility and the adaptability to really show up in a way that is right for the customer. You know, that takes a lot of work, alignment between, you know, the CCO, like in my role, or CRO, or working with our partners in sales operations to design all of that. So what I would share, Thomas, when you get it right, it really does help impact the customer experience, right? The value they're getting and the outcome they're getting from our products and solutions.
So I'm going to backtrack to this value conversation. And literally right now, we've got a research thread going where we're interviewing member companies about how they articulate value, define value, communicate it, defend it. And the reason we're doing this is because, again, it's a very tough renewal environment, as you know. And so if you don't have a business value story to tell your customer, you're probably on the cutting room floor, you know, in terms of their tech spend. I mean, that's the way it is right now. It's just, it's very, very tough. And so there's a framework, I'm just writing this paper called the Value Assurance Loop. In every company that we interview, this is what they ideally want to do. In the pre-sales, you identify the potential business value, you get that in front of the customer, then you do an onboarding, you validate that again and say, hey, this is what we're going to be working on. And then you have the ongoing communication, like you're talking about dashboards, et cetera. And then the renewal comes up. It's a no-brainer because you say, look, over the past year, whatever, here's all the value we delivered. So that's what everybody wants to do, but they really struggle to do it. They struggle that, hey, the sales conversation was erratic. We don't run the same play there. Or the information didn't get to the CS team when we started implementation. Oh, now we're working with the customer and we don't have the data. We don't know how to communicate. So by the time this renewal thing comes up, we just don't have a good value story. So you already put on the table, you're building platforms, dashboards to do a better job there. What are some of the other things that you have done to really solidify your ability to articulate and defend value? Because it sounds like you've been chipping on this really hard.
Yeah, we have. And I think the value loop that you outline, it makes a lot of sense. But you, again, need to take the time to build the underpinning, right?
Right.
The scalability to actually bring that to life internally. And for us, it always starts with what we say, having that single pane of glass, right? We have all the plumbing and the piping that we've been building underneath. Mm-hmm. We want to expose all of that information across the entire customer journey, whether it's like we're running an account-based marketing program. How do we expose everything to those teams that are sitting inside of marketing? Or mm-hmm. as we go through the value realization in the very beginning with our SC organization, how does that then come across and be exposed to our onboarding consultants or to our CSAMs? And so we've been building all of that capability underneath to expose all of that. And we think that is critical so we can show up in a way where it's highly personalized, it's seamless regardless of who you're talking to. And no matter what your role is at DocuSign, you're focused on driving value for the customer. I'll give you a real example of something that we've done is around our technical support team. So typically people think of tech support as a break fix, right? I have a problem.
Sure.
I call, I get a fix. And what we're focused on is, you know, how do we start to use technology to either proactively understand where customers may have a problem? And if they do end up engaging with us, of course, we want to fix the issue they're having, but we want to use that as an opportunity to understand, have they completed everything that they could from maybe an onboarding standpoint, maybe it's mm-hmm. customer, and they haven't completed their workflow. And so we want to use that as an opportunity to drive value for our customers. And so we earn the right to then do more by fixing the problem they called us about, but we expose to those technical individuals, hey, they started building a Maestro workflow. They didn't complete it. Why don't we take a few extra minutes, Thomas, and actually walk them through and get them up and running? And so we start to bring that to life across everything that we do. And it's, you know, having that, you know, clear communication, making sure we've got transparency and trust along the journey. We're being more proactive than ever. You know, we've shifted even our, what we'd call a TAM model to be almost 70, 80% of what they do is around being proactive, not reactive, leaning in. And everyone along that journey, no matter what team you're at in DocuSign, getting exposure to where we can drive incremental value for the customer. And again, it's not just like, hey, we want you to use more. Of course, we want you to use more because we know you get more value. It's about how are we helping you achieve those business outcomes or impacts that you're looking for using our product. And so that's been super cool. We have more work to do, but even like when I talked about the conversational intelligence platform that we're implementing now, all of that's going to feed into this common infrastructure. And then we're laser focused on each of those major touch points, having a single pane of glass where you can get everything you need to show up in a way to that customer where we know them, we know what their pain points are, and we're driving value for them.
One of the main reasons we founded TSIA almost 20 years ago was to establish accurate operational benchmarks for technology service businesses that just didn't exist anywhere. Benchmarking is a killer tool to quickly understand your strengths and weaknesses. Benchmarking sets you on a journey that starts with where you are, points to what is possible, and identifies the business practices that will get you there. That's why I am super excited we decided to offer a free version of TSI's industry-leading benchmarks with Performance Optimizer. Performance Optimizer is an easy-to-use benchmarking tool you can access from the TSI website. You can assess operational strengths and weaknesses in multiple areas, like customer success, professional services, support services, etc. And the Optimizer results prescribe specific actions to address specific challenges and opportunities. This is an amazing offer, and I am so proud we are doing this for all of our loyal Tectonic listeners who may not be corporate TSIA members. To check it out, visit tsia.com/free. So two follow-up questions on this, because this, again, I think this is a really important conversation in the industry right now in terms of, you know, defending value. And that is, in one of these interviews, I was speaking with a customer success leader, and they were talking about the fact that internally, employees, you know, our tech employees aren't anchored on value. They're anchored historically on getting their job done. So you have the classic example there of customer calls into support. If I'm a support professional, like, I want to get this thing up and running. I want to fix the problem. That's success, right? And then boom, I'm on to the next problem. If I'm a PS person, I got to stand it up, get it running. I'm on to the next, you know, implementation. And so tell me a little bit about how you get your own employees to say, hey, wait a minute, it's not just about you fix that technical problem. It really is about exploring and making sure they're getting maximum value, because that's a different mentality. And so it just doesn't turn on overnight. So talk a little bit about that journey, just with employees, yeah, to get them more sensitive to it.
It's a great question. And I think, you know, everyone inherently, when they come to work every day, they're well-intended. They want to do a good job. I think as leaders, it's us to really help them understand, why do we want to do things differently? And how do we win the hearts and minds of our employees and really inspire and galvanize them to want to do more than just show up and fix a problem? Mm-hmm. And you know, we spend a lot of time focused on helping our employees understand, why does this matter? Right. A simple thing, I'll give you an example of something we talk a lot about internally, is like retention built in. You know, retention and renewals is not something you do 3 months before the renewal comes up. It should be thought about all the way through the entire customer journey, starting with the product, right? Mm-hmm. Starting when we're even prospecting and we're talking about, let's just take our eSign product. What are the features and capabilities that allow our customers to get more value, right? Is it integrations? Is it SMS signing, WhatsApp signing? And so we start to build that thinking in. So we're talking and educating and helping our customers understand that. And then when we onboard those capabilities. And when we're looking at driving usage and adoption, we're making sure those key functionalities are built in. So when we get to the renewal window, it's not about how do we save the customer, minimize churn. It's about making sure they were getting value all the way along the journey. And we spend a lot of time thinking about that across the company, right? This isn't just a CS thing. This is an entire DocuSign thing. And so our CEO, Alan, is very intentional about getting the entire company thinking about adoption, right? He talks a lot about adoption is everyone's job. Usage is everyone's job, regardless of where you sit within the company. And those are just some of those fundamental things that I think start to shift how we show up to our employees. And then, you know, naturally, as they see that's the strategy and the focus of the company to be customer-centric, really put that customer at the center, and adoption and usage is foundational to getting value and outcomes for our customers, everyone naturally is curious on how they can do more and how they can impact more. And then it really starts to take off. And that's what we've been seeing here. It's amazing when you see our employees leaning in and really passionate about, I don't want to just show up and fix a problem. I really want to help customers solve business problems. And when we do that, they naturally get value. They naturally want to stay with us longer. They want to do more with us. And we earn the right to do more. We have a new, whole new platform coming out. I think I talked to you about Thomas Intelligent Agreement Management. And this is a huge opportunity for us to really expand beyond just being an e-signature company, mm-hmm, on the entire agreement journey, right? How do we think about before you sign, and how do you think about after you sign, managing all of that and understanding all of this inherent value that are in these contracts? We need our employees all galvanized and excited about leaning in and helping our customers do that. a little passionate about this because this is just one of those areas where at the end of the day, it has to be about our employees, and we have to be in a place where we get them behind everything we're trying to do as a company. You know, the front line is really where the magic happens, right? When we get them completely bought into our strategy, they really go the extra mile to deliver for our customers.
Well, you know, as I listen to you talk about that, sort of culturally instilling everywhere in the company the fact that adoption and usage is job one, good things will happen from that. And sort of the crazy thing in this industry is we are not, as tech companies, masters of adoption. We have never really been. We are masters at getting, you know, new products out there, new technical capabilities out there. And it is just now that I think this is really at the forefront. And again, usage-based pricing just forces this issue like no other. And so I think there's a lot of work still to be done for companies to truly be masters of adoption. Because that's, you know, goes all the way back to the product teams, and they're thinking about the telemetry that's going to help with adoption. They're, you know, just throughout the whole, you know, soup to nuts, everybody has to think and operate a little bit differently. And I'm just, you know, curious. I mean, number one, you articulated it really has to be a top-down message. And anything else in terms of driving that culture of adoption and usage everywhere that you see has been helpful within DocuSign?
Thomas, my advice to CCOs is really not to think about their role to be just the post-sales, right? It's really to think about how can you influence and drive adoption and usage across the entire company. And some of the core foundations here, as I mentioned, one is obviously starting to get everyone thinking about value. Two is really embracing data, right? How do you leverage and use data to drive insight and to drive action, right? To be informed about what's happening with the customer across the entire journey and exposing that to everyone, not like, hey, I can only see my part of the journey and the data relative to that. Another, I think, is really communicate clearly, right? Maintain that open and transparent communication with customers about everything, right? And this is something we're very deliberate about, and we've been more prescriptive than ever on when should we engage with customers? How do we engage? What are those key moments to make sure, you know, that we're showing up in a way where we're being clear and transparent with our customers, but we're also getting feedback and understanding about what's happening within their business, you know, whereas historically it may be like, hey, I show up 6 months before, or I show up at the 1 year mark, or I do an EBR. We're very deliberate in designing what our expectations are, and we're tracking and reporting, not to be big brother, but just so we can make sure we are holding ourselves accountable to show up to customers. I think in terms of the company, collaborate cross-functionally, right? I think this is an opportunity for all companies, right? How do you break down those silos and really show up in a way where we're focused on the customer? Of course, we all have our own domain expertise, but we've got to have that alignment and seamless customer experience, regardless of team. And then I would just say, you know, adapt and evolve. What got us here today and some of the things I shared, Thomas, may not work a year from now. And I think as leaders, we have to be willing to listen to our customers, take that feedback, understand how they're using the product, how are they getting value, but also be willing to adapt and evolve and be willing to challenge what you actually built, right? You know, is this what we need now? It's what we needed, you know, the last 2 years, but may not be what we needed going forward. And so I think those are some of the fundamental things. But at the end of the day, it starts with just that super simple putting the customer at the center and thinking about everything we do around the customer. And that takes deliberate, intentional effort as a company to do that.
So I think it's a good list you put on the table there. And just the quick comment I'll make is, you know, one of the things you itemized was the data sharing between different functions and that visibility. And we know for a fact that's one of the things that many companies struggle with. They're like, they've got these data silos, services doesn't know what product was doing with the customer or what marketing was doing or whatever. And I think you're absolutely right. If you're really going to be driving value, driving adoption systematically, then you have to break down those data silos. You can't have blind spots between departments around what the hell's going on with the customer. And so that, I think, is, you know, a really important one to chip on if you're on this journey. But I'm watching the clock here. I really appreciate you, you know, sharing your insights. I think you're sitting on a model that a lot of companies are going to be sitting on in the future. Because if you're going to get paid for what the customer actually uses and where they actually get value, and if you're not doing that, you're not going to get paid. I mean, people aren't just going to pay for software and not know what the business value is. So I like to close these out with a question of the day. And so for everybody listening here, your company may be exploring usage-based pricing, but is your service and sales team ready to actually support usage-based pricing? Cheers, everybody. Every Tectonic listener is well aware I am a big believer that AI is a game changer for how professionals in the technology industry will do their jobs. TSI Research is not immune to that reality. I am proud to say that we have been aggressively experimenting on how AI can change the way we create research and deliver those research insights to our members. And now we are ready to release TSIA Intelligence, the first Gen AI model designed exclusively for technology services. Unlike generic Gen AI tools, TSIA Intelligence taps into our real-world, industry-validated data that is not in the public domain. We have designed this model to give you clear, actionable, and board-ready insights. Right now, in technology services, the stakes are really high. Every decision counts. Good decisions can build your career. Bad ones can end it. General LLMs are incredibly powerful, but you need specialized insights built on industry data that you can trust. That is TSIA Intelligence. To check it out, visit tsia.com/intelligence.